Welcome to Shelby Confessions, a mix of inspiration and understanding to help you cherish the day.
Hello. Today I would like to talk about, I'll give a first example of me. I don't know what it is about a trait that people have of, you don't want to be with somebody, but you don't want them to be with anybody else. I don't really know how this trait became so popular or so much of a role in someone's being. And I'm gonna give an example of me. I was in a relationship with someone, and like, no joke, like I was madly in love with them, and our breakup was so tremendous. It wasn't even a relationship. Like, it was, if you read my very first book, Fear of Falling, like that stuff in that book really did happen. I was in love with someone, and you know, I was so invested in them, and they were, you know, they slept with my friend at the time, and you know, it was just a whole bunch of drama. So when we ended it, we ended it. And we lived in the same city, true, but we didn't have the same group of friends. We didn't have the same like dynamic to where we would cross each other again. But I was so, I guess I was so infatuated with this person, but I knew I couldn't be in a relationship with them. And the reason why I knew I couldn't be in a relationship with them is because there was so much damage, not just from that person, but also from me, that I knew I could not get over. But in my mind, I thought that that was love, like an infatuation with a person. And so we kept in contact over the years and we remained friends, but I was like, you know, even as a friend, when they would talk about someone else, like I would get pissed. And I know that that sounds like super weird coming from me, but at that time I was pissed. I would get really depressed and I'm like, well, they're talking to somebody, they have a girlfriend, you know what I mean? Or like I would get into a relationship and I would compare with the person I was in a relationship with to that person. Now, mind you, I shouldn't have done that because the people I was dating was 10 times better than that person. But in my mind, it was like, no. It just wasn't it. The chemistry wasn't there. And I also was young. You know what I mean? Like, this is like a crush person, you know? And I just was so consumed with this person. And, you know, later years on, you know, back and forth, the relationships after that, we decided to remain friends. And we saw each other. I had moved back from Cali. And when I moved back from Cali, I went visit. And the person got on one knee. There was nobody around. There was no camera, nothing. Got on one knee. Said, I don't have a ring, but I know that I cannot live without you. And I was shocked. You know what I mean? Because I was like, dude, like, you know, like, we've been friends. You know, like, we talked about the situation that happened, but we've been friends for years. And so for us to go back to this place, I stuttered and I said yes. So that was like the first time I've ever been proposed to in my entire life. And I wanted to tell everybody, like I was telling all my friends, but I didn't tell my family yet because I felt like, you know, I wasn't sure. And then, you know, the person, they weren't sure either. They were like, I want to do something dramatic and so we can tell both our families, you know, the planning. It's just, we wanted to make it a celebration, but we knew it was a taboo thing. So we would make like subliminal messages on Facebook and texting. And then we would have conversations. And the conversation that literally broke me and I realized that this person is not for me is when we started talking about our livelihood. Like, the person was so adamant, like, are you going to go back to school to be a pharmacist? And I'm like, no, that's just not, it's not where I want to go. I was like, artistically, I want to keep writing. I want to do paintings, that, you know, like, I want to keep creating. I want to make my own business. And when I was saying this, they were like, why? You're a hard worker. You've been working hard your entire life. Why don't you go back to school? I will support you while you're in school. And then when you graduate, I will resign and you'll support me. And I heard that. And I was like, are you joking? And they were like, no, I'll be the stay-at-home parent and you'll be the pharmacist and we'll be great. I said, that's not what I want to do. You know, like, I don't mind being a stay-at-home mom, but I mean, I want to, I've always had multiple jobs. I will work to the bone. I will work so well to keep, you know, my livelihood together and my responsibilities. I have provided for a home of 3-4 people. Like, I've always been that person. And so for the partner to tell me that, it kind of like, it baffled me, you know, like, okay, I will slave and study to go to school. And then when I'm done, you'd be like, okay, I need a rest. Instead of like, hey, let's artistically come up with a plan to support both of our dreams and soar. And in my mind, like, it bothered me, the conversation. And then after, like, none of my friends liked this engagement. None of them. And I really don't care if my friends like the engagement or not. It's all about me. But I didn't have anyone to talk to. So all I had were my thoughts and my feelings. And I set myself in a room and I started to go over each memory with this person and go over our future. If you know, maybe that was just a joke that they were saying that. Maybe, you know, we could, like, I imagined my dream. And I was like, you know what? I realized at that point that I only said yes to this engagement because I really did not want that person to be with anybody else. And that was hurtful to me that I had stooped, not stooped, but I mean, like, I had literally taken that initiative of that person's, like, heart. Not because I was madly in love with them. Like, yes, I loved them back in the day. Yes, I love them as a person, but as a partner, I feel as though we were not compatible. And I realized that my infatuation with this person was not merely for a relationship as you know, a romantic relationship, but I just genuinely love this person as my friend. I could not see myself being in a marriage with this person, and I could not see myself happy with this person. And I don't know if it was a cold jitters or whatever, but I just was like, it's not my time to marry this person. This person is genuinely not for me. And I immediately called them and I said, this is not what I want. And it was heartbreaking to crush that person. But like I said in previous episodes, sacrifice that to this very day, I do not regret at all, because I know this person is living their best life, you know, but they are flourishing and is traveling and is, you know, they're happy. And I know that if I would have stayed and I would have gotten married and I would have done all those ideas, you know, and you know, when I broke it off, they were like, I was just joking. And I'm like, it felt surreal to me. And I just realized something ugly about myself. And like I preach over and over, I am not a perfect person. I'm really not. Every day is a learning lesson for me. So every day I find something new about myself that I need to change, not for everyone else, but for myself as a healing process. And the fact that I realized that I only wanted to be with this person merely because I did not want them to be with anybody else. Not because I wanted to be with them, but because I didn't want them with anyone else. And that was years ago, you know what I mean? And to this day, you know, I've had, you know, my ex and a little tit for tat. Well, not even tit for tat. I was trying to have an adult conversation. They weren't. And they were trying to throw jabs at me. And the young lady, she admitted, she was like, I don't want to be with him, but I don't want to see him with you. And I was like, what kind of, you know, like, what kind of mentality that is? Like, we will literally break someone down. You know, after a breakup, you depart, you have your own lives, you move on, whatever, whatever, you remain friends, whatever. But to literally drag somebody through the mud, their name, their character, everything, their livelihood, everything, drag them through the mud, and then kind of conflict or cause issues with the person they're in the current relationship with, not because of, I realize I really want to be with this person, but I realize I don't want this person with anyone else. I don't want this person to make anyone else happy. I don't want them to be happy. I'm merely off of anger and frustration and resentment. And I'm, you know, honestly, I'm going through my own thing, so I don't want to see no one else happy. So I just want to be ugly and nitpick on my past relationship and their new relationship. I don't understand that. And I'm not saying that, you know, this is like the first time that's happened to me. I've dated several people that have been in that stance to where they were in a relationship with somebody for so long. They break up, it's over, and they try to move into a new relationship. And that person literally did everything while they were in a relationship with this person, showing them that they didn't want them. But as soon as that person moves on, they're like, I have to have you. Which they really don't have to have you. They really don't want you. They just don't want you to move on. They want you to chase them. They want to feel entitled. And you know, I feel like that's crazy to have that power, to want to have that power over someone. You know, like, and I thought about it, you know what I mean? Like, I wanted, at the time when I was in that relationship, I wanted that so bad because I felt like out of all the damage that person had did to me, I deserved them to chase me. I deserved them to still want me. I deserved them to feel like I was the one who got away. I deserved that. I felt that I deserved that instead of realizing that this person was only meant to teach me a little bit about just a percentage of myself and what I deserve. And that person, friendship was a delegation of what I should expect everyone to treat me. Because as friends, we were amazing. Like, blunt, you know, they were bluntly honest to me. They were, you know, like, that sucks and you look crazy. You need to change. You know, like, bluntly real. So realistic. And you know, it just impacted me so much as a friendship. But with that example of how they treated me, I realized what stance of friendship I need in my life. What reality I need from that experience with that person. And you know, like, from then on, after realizing that I was just dragging this on and on for my own personal gain and actually hurting and deflecting that person, I realized how ugly that is. You know what I mean? I realized how nasty that is. I realized at the point that, you know, how vindictive that is. You know what I mean? And that's for men and women. I'm not saying women are the only ones who do that. Who will put a person through hell and back and, you know, break up and then still put them through hell and back after y'all done broke up because you don't want them with no one else. That's not just women. Just men do that too. Everyone does that. And I want the person that's doing that to another person to realize is that, yes, we make mistakes. Sure. Sometimes we don't realize what we have until it's gone. I understand that. But in the same aspect, even after that person has gone, if you initially cannot see that person after all the hurt and pain, because once you hurt a person, their dynamic change, their persona of you changes, their whole actions, emotions change towards you because now they have to shift and see another person that they did not expect. So that's a learning experience. So that's a part of growth. They're going to change. Now, the true question is, This is how you know you're not being vindictive. The true question is, after you have made a mistake, or, you know, a mistake, whatever. After that, once you feel like you can't live with that without that person and you want to try it again, right? Can you handle that shift, that growth, that change that that person has endured? Can you handle that new person after you hurt them or broke their heart? That's the real question. That's how you know. That's how you know you are not being a vindictive person, selfish person. And that's really how you know that you're not just doing this so that they can't be with someone else. Is that you genuinely care for them and you genuinely want to make it work. Can you handle that person after all the damage has been done? Because they're a new person. That's what everybody forgets. You know what I mean? Like, I understand forgiveness. I understand healing. I understand apologizing, acknowledging what you've done. But can you, after you hurt a person, can you handle that change in them after the damage is done? Because if you can, then you genuinely want to be with that person. You genuinely feel that you guys are meant to be. You know what I mean? And it's always going to be up to them to whether they stay with you or not. But you'll continuously try to make it work because you realize you've messed up something that's important. But if you can't handle that person's change after you messed up, after all that damage has been done, if you can't handle them constantly bringing up, or you can't handle them thinking of you different, or if you just can't handle it, but yet you still want to chase them, I'm sorry to tell you, but that is you being vindictive. And the reason you're being vindictive is because you feel like you want to hurt them too. And I'm smiling at this point in time because nobody wants to admit they want to be vengeful. Nobody wants to be a villain in any story. Never. Nobody wants to admit that. And while I was talking to the young lady, you know, me and her and conversing, she was like, you know, we were just so young, and we can always work it out. I was like, honey, after all the damage you've done, do you really think he would look at you the same as what you're saying to me? She couldn't answer it. She was like, we'll work it out. That's all she could tell me. But then that's when I noticed that you were being vengeful. That you weren't genuinely wanting this man back. You were just being vengeful. Because the person, after all the damage, because I started listing them. Yeah, I was petty. I was listing them. All the damage you've done, you think that that's the same person that you're dealing with at this time? You think that that is the same man or woman you met back in the day? Like, when you're in a relationship with someone, it's good. You know what I mean? The good times, the very beginning, when y'all are going through the first love stages and all this and that. That beauty, that magic at that beginning, do you think it's going to be the exact same after all the heartbreak, pain, anxiety, betrayal, lies, deceit? Do you think that person will be the same? Do you even think, or here's the real question, do you even think you'll be the same? If you can handle all those changes after all that damage, then be my guest. You fully love that person. You fully wanted to make it work. You fully want to be there. But if the answer that you're giving me is, I can't handle that person. It's driving me nuts that they don't trust me now. It's driving me insane that they won't believe a thing. If it's utterly bothering you that this dynamic has changed and this person is new and dealing with you in a different way, or growing, or trying to adjust or heal from pain, if you can't understand that, accept that, willing to work on it, willing to build something from scratch all over again. Because everybody wants, when you say sorry, everything to go back the way it was. It's not. it's not going to be the same. It will never be the same. And the reason is because that innocence is gone. After you betray or hurt or break someone's heart, it's no longer innocent. I'm just going to be honest with you. It's no longer pure. It's been tampered. And anything that's been tampered or contaminated, that's when you got to call the waste control. You got to call hazard control. You try to resolve the issue in uncontaminated or clean or cleanse the person in the issue. But that takes time. That takes work. That takes a full commitment to work with a person to help build that trust or help heal that wound again. But if you're not initially wanting to do that, or you're not initially committed to do that, then you're being vindictive. You are being a villain. You don't want this person with anyone else, even though you do not want them. And as sad as that may be, or hard for somebody to grasp that knowledge of that's what you're doing, or that's what someone is doing to you, then you need to do what I said in previous episodes. It's a sacrifice. It's a sacrifice for your own happiness. It's a sacrifice for their happiness that you have to make to walk away.
In conclusion, I just want to tell you guys to promise to cherish the day. And it's your girl, Shelby Henning, signing off. Have a good one, y'all.